Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to another episode of The Dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and this is episode F232. Let's just get into the words, because why not? I guess I shall say I have already been gathering some fun little videos for a very very soon upcoming episode. Should be fun. You know, let's have some fun. Let's do it. That's what life is all about. Having fun, being silly, not taking anything too seriously. So that's why I'm reading the dictionary. All right. The first word in this episode is fruitless. Fruitless. I got no fruits. I actually did eat all my fruits. I made a smoothie this morning. I had some fruits in there. So I got no more fruits. I'm fruitless. This is an adjective from the 14th century. Number one, the synonym is unsuccessful, as in a fruitless attempt. When you attempted the thing, you tried so hard, but you got no fruits of your labor. There were no fruits that came out of your attempt, so it was unsuccessful. It's very sad. You screwed up. Fruitless. I wanted some fruits when I attempted to climb the tree and get some fruits, but I got no fruits because the fruit bats already got all the fruits. Number two, lacking or not bearing fruit. Your basket, your tisket and your tasket and your basket might be fruitless. The store could be fruitless. Your house could be fruitless. Or your tree does not bear fruit, so it is fruitless. A synonym is futile. That'll be later in the Fs. Fruitlessly is an adverb, and fruitlessness is a noun. And, you know, I can probably objectively say that this podcast is a little fruitless. Although it's not, because I'm getting education out of it. I'm learning things, which I promptly forget, but I hope you are getting something out of it. And if you are, you can let me know what you are getting out of it. You can send me an email. You can send me a voicemail. I hope it's not fruitless. I hope that people get some fruits from this podcast. All right, let's make a sound effect. I shall do... The next word is fruitlet. We added an L-E-T. Noun from 1881. Number one, a small fruit. Just a little bitty fruit. A blueberry? Sometimes you get those blueberries. They're just littlest, tiniest little blueberries. They're fruitlets. Any other small fruits out there? Grapes. Grapes would be small fruits. They would be fruitlets. Watermelons would not... I would not call a watermelon a fruitlet. No, I would call that a fruit... Oh, I don't know what word I was trying to say. It's a big fruit. Number two, a unit... of a collective fruit. Ooh, what is a collective fruit? Maybe a pomegranate would be a collective fruit. A raspberry might be a collective fruit. What's a collective fruit? I mean, well, it's not fruitless. We know that. I shall look up collective fruit in the internet. Ooh, is a pineapple a collective fruit? There are collective fruits, also known as multiple fruits, We got multiple fruits here. They are formed from the fusion of multiple flowers within a single inflorescence, where each flower contributes a fruitlet, a tiny little fruit, that matures into a larger unified structure. Examples include pineapples, mulberries, figs, and jackfruit. These fruits differ from aggregate fruits, which develop from a single flower with multiple ovaries. What would examples of those be? I don't know. Here, raspberry would be an aggregate fruit. Strawberry, blackberry. All right, interesting. Yeah, let's put this link in the show notes for multiple fruits. So yes, one of those units in the collective fruit, the multiple fruit, is a fruitlet. So a pineapple is made up of many fruitlets. Next is fruit machine. This sounds fascinating. It's two words, noun from 1933. It is British. Oh, this is getting interesting. British people, hit me up. Tell me what you think about this. The synonym is the number two definition for the word slot machine. I mean, I guess it's a fruit machine because it's producing fruit. It's producing something. When you hit the jackpot, the triple sevens, the triple cherries, the triple bars. Oh, maybe because slot machines on the dials, there's a lot of fruits often. Why do they put fruits on there? Cherries, lemons, oranges, pineapples? I don't know. Then it's there's fruits on the things, but then it's also giving you fruits with the money when it goes ding, 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 ding. Is it, that's why you call it a fruit machine? I don't know. Tell me. I want to know about that. Fruit sugar. Two words, noun from circa 1872. The synonym is the number two definition for fructose, which I think was in the previous, no, two episodes ago. Fructose is fruit sugar. Give me that fruit sugar. Fruit wood. One word, noun from 1927. This is the wood of a fruit tree, and examples of the fruit tree would be apple, cherry, or pear. Fruit wood, yeah. You know, you can make things from any trees, probably, or most trees. And, you know, there are trees that bear fruit, like apples, cherries, and pears. And you can chop down the tree so it can't make any more fruit. That doesn't seem like a great idea. Then you can use that wood to make things. Make a chair, make a bench, make a hat. A fruit wood hat. And then, yeah, that's that. I've heard of cherry wood a lot, so I assume that's the wood from the cherry tree. But I don't think I've heard of so much apple wood. Oh, well, actually, I take that back. I have heard of apple wood a lot. Maybe apple wood smoked bacon or something. So, yeah, that's a thing. For pear wood, though? Pear wood? Who's using pear wood? What is the pear wood smell like? Taste? Don't eat pear wood. Don't. What does it taste like? I don't know. Don't try. Interesting. The example is fruit wood furniture. Fruit wood furniture. Say that a lot. Fruity. This is an adjective from 1657. Number 1A, relating to, made with, or resembling fruit. Is it like fruit? It's fruity. 1B, having the flavor or aroma of ripe fruit. Well, I guess they gotta call out ripe fruit because unripe fruit probably doesn't give off much of a smell. But the ripe fruit, oh, you could smell that a mile away. Ooh, that fruit is quite ripe. I can smell it. That's a ripe mango over there. Fruity. Okay, now we got 2A. Extremely effective, interesting, or enjoyable. Can I have an example sentence, please? This one seems like a little bit of a stretch. It seems pretty rare. If something is enjoyable, interesting, or very effective, it's fruity. I mean, of course, you know, if we're thinking about a tree that bears fruit, a plum tree, nectarine tree that's making so many fruits, we're going to call it a fruity tree. That tree is so fruity. But I don't know if we're so much talking about trees here. It's effective. It's interesting. It's enjoyable. Oh, that movie that I watched was so fruity because I enjoyed it. I would love an example sentence here. Fruity? Okay, well, we got 2B, so this one might be similar. This is sweet or sentimental, especially to excess. Oh, there's too much sentimentality here. You're being so fruity when you're being so sentimental and you said, I love you. Quit being fruity. So sweet, so sweet. Nah. Interesting. Okay. Now we have 2C. This is talking about a voice. A voice can be fruity. Rich and deep. I don't have as much of a fruity voice as I would want. I'm speaking so fruity today because my voice is rich and deep. I had to really, really work at that one. Okay, it's deeper in my head. All of our voices are deeper in our head because of the way that your voice box, your larynx vibrates, and then it vibrates the bones, and then you hear it from inside your head, not outside of your head. And just the way that that all works, it sounds deeper than it really is. So in my voice sounds fruity, but I don't think it sounds fruity. But now when I talk like this, when I get way up here and I'm like, wait, what's going on? That's not fruity. Although, if we want to be, what would the right word here be? If we want to be stereotypical, disparaging, slangy, you know, if we go back to one of the definitions in the previous episode, sometimes you're describing maybe a gay man as fruity. On average, their voices probably aren't as rich and deep. Again, if we're being very, very stereotypical about it, don't at me. That's what people say. So, yes, they have a fruity voice in a different way. And some people might love that term, but a lot of people maybe don't love that term. So, you know, we got to be respectful in that way. We're just here to call out all of the different possible ways to use words. Sometimes they're not good, and sometimes they're great. All right, now, number 3, this is slang. The synonyms are crazy and silly. Well, I guess in that way, I could probably describe myself as a little fruity, but almost every time you hear somebody say fruity, it's not in one of these ways. It's just not. I think most people's brains don't go there. Again, I'm being stereotypical about it. You know, there's a lot of different types of people out there, so I'm coming at it from my specific perspective. I think at least most people in America probably think of fruity in a very specific way. What's your relationship to this word? Do you have strong feelings? Go ahead, email me, send me a voicemail, DM me, whatever you want to do. All that information is in the show notes. Fruitily is an adverb. When you are doing something very enjoyable and interesting, you are doing it fruitily. And then also fruitiness is a noun. All right, no more fruit words. We finished them all. Now we have frumenty. How do you say this word? Frumenty or farmenty? Huh. Oh, well, it's spelled a couple of ways. Farmenty, that's the second one. So the first one is frumenty, frumenty. The second way is spelled furmity, and that is fermity. So, what the hell is this word? It's a noun from the 14th century. And I'm going to turn up the fan here because it's very warm here. I shall be right back, everybody. I'm back, everybody. I had to wipe down my brow too. It's getting so sweaty. Now the fan is going crazy. So, frumenty with an N, or fermity, is a dish of wheat boiled in milk and usually sweetened and spiced. I mean, it sounds very similar to oatmeal and maybe, you know, other things that are similar. A dish of wheat boiled in milk and usually sweetened and spiced. I mean, it doesn't sound bad. It depends on, I guess, how you sweeten it and spice it up. Ooh, yeah, spice it up. So, this word, this is from, looks like Anglo-French, furment, or frument, which is grain, from the Latin frumentum, which is from frui, F-R-U-I, which means to enjoy. Here's a dish of grain. Enjoy it. Enjoy my bowl of grain boiled in milk. Mmm, that doesn't taste great. I'm going to put some sweetened stuff in there and spicy stuff in there. Mmm. There is more at the word brook, which I think we saw in the previous episode. Not sure why. So, yeah, interesting. Frumenty or firmity is a bowl of wheat. Bowl of wheat, bowl of wheat, I'm eating a bowl of wheat. Now we have the word frump, F-R.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
UMP. Of course, right off the bat, I have to call out the Weird Al song, Mr. Frump in the Iron Lung, which I think is from one of his first album or two. It's a very silly song. It's a, I love it. It's great. It's so, so silly. So, frump is a noun from 1817. Number one is a dowdy, oh, this is mean. Why didn't they put disparaging, mean as hell, something like that? So it is a dowdy, unattractive girl or woman. Maybe let's not call people frumps. Let's be nice to people. Who cares what they look like, what they act like? Let's just be nice to people because they're human. Also, frump is also, number two, a stead, drab, old-fashioned person. And the word stead is S-T-A-I-D, which I am very curious about that word now. I mean, I guess we could wait until the S's, but I think we're all going to be dead by then. So I have to look it up now. I hope the Earth doesn't kick us out before I finish this podcast. Stead. Let's see. What? Oh, serious. Prim. Self-resistant. Sober. Grave. That's the word stead. Okay. So, yes, oh, very prim and proper and serious and maybe stoic. They are, and drab and old-fashioned. Oh, you old frump. What you doing wearing those old-fashioned clothes, sitting in the corner, smoking a cigar, being all serious, you frump. All right, where does this word come from? It's probably from frumple, which means to wrinkle. So when I squish my face and I go, I'm frumpling my face, and I got a lot of frumps on my face. Here we go. When I get old, I'm going to have the most frumpy face. It's going to have so many wrinkles. Next is frumpish, adjective from circa 1847. The synonyms are dowdy and drab. And, of course, I would have spoken about those words way back in the D's, so you can go back and listen to those. Frumpish. Now we have frumpy, adjective from circa 1840. The synonyms are just dowdy and drab again, so you can be frumpish or you can be frumpy. Either way, you are dowdy and drab. Maybe where you're wearing gray. Frump. Next is frustrate. Oh, frustrate, here we go. This is the first form. It is a verb from the 15th century, and is it only transitive? I think it's only transitive. So, where does this part... Here we go. 1A, I found it. It is to balk or defeat in an endeavor. To balk or defeat in an endeavor. Okay, so maybe you're running a race, and you defeated somebody else in this endeavor of you racing against somebody else, and so if you beat them... Or you're balking at them? You have frustrated them? Oh, I would get very frustrated if you were being unsportsmanlike and you beat me and you call it, you say, ha ha, I beat you, I would be frustrated. But that's a different definition. This one I'm not familiar with. 1B, to induce feelings of discouragement in. Oh, I'm going to discourage you. No, no, don't do that thing. No, no, don't read the dictionary. I'm going to frustrate you. You really want to read the dictionary on a podcast, but no, 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 don't do it. I'm discouraging you from doing that. Ah, damn it, he did it. 2A1, to make ineffectual and also bring to nothing. You're making something not fruitful, ineffectual. It doesn't work. There's no effect. Bring to nothing. There's nothing happening. So you're frustrating it. I need more context. This is confusing. 1A2, the synonyms are impede and obstruct. You are stopping something from happening, so you're frustrating it. I guess maybe this one I've heard a little bit more, but typically there's only one way that I've heard of frustrate, and it's not any of these, I don't think. I'm trying to... Anything else? Okay, well, we got that coming up. All right, well, we got one more definition for this word, which is to be. It is to make invalid, to make invalid or of no effect. Maybe voiding a check. You're frustrating the check? I don't know. This one's fascinating. But we can get some more information because first of all, we have some etymology. This is from the Latin verb frustrare, which means to deceive or frustrate. Also from frustra, which means in error or in vain, like it's not worth it, or yes, you screwed up. That's pretty much it for the etymology. So yeah, fascinating. I feel like this is, because it's from the 15th century, I feel like this is one of those words that people were using maybe more back then in this context, in this way, but I don't think people are using it in this way so much. I think I'm cooled down enough, and this wind is getting a little crazy, and maybe you hear it, so I'm going to turn off the fan now, or rather just turn it down a bit, although I went from 3 to 2, which you'd think 2 is actually stronger, and you'd think it would be the other way around, but I guess the wires got crossed. But there's a big difference between those two. All right, but hey, you know what? There is even more information for this form of the word frustrate because we have synonym information. So, frustrate, thwart, foil, baffle, and balk, B-A-L-K, mean to check or defeat another's plan or block achievement of a goal. So you're stopping something from happening, right? We saw impede, obstruct, make invalid or no effect, make ineffectual. We saw all those things are like just stopping a thing from happening. People tried to frustrate me with this podcast, but it didn't work. So let's get some more specifics. The word frustrate implies making vain or ineffectual all efforts, however vigorous or persistent. There was something funny about that definition, or that sentence. Frustrate implies making vain or ineffectual all efforts. You're making all the efforts vain or ineffectual, however hard or persistent you work at them. The example is frustrated attempts at government reform. Trying to change government, and no matter how hard we try, it's just not working. Oh, I would sure like to make some changes to this government right now, please. Thwart suggests frustration or checking by crossing or opposing, as in the army thwarted his attempt at a coup, a C-O-U-P, coup. He wanted to do a coup, and the whole army said, no, we are the whole army, and we can stop you. You are just one person. That's pretty hard for you to do a coup. Cuckoo, because we can thwart you. So the sentence was a little bit weird. It suggests frustration or checking by crossing or opposing. I don't know. It's just worded funny to me, I guess. Foil, F-O-I-L, implies checking or defeating so as to discourage further effort. Like, okay, you tried, but I'm going to foil you so you stop trying. Can you please stop trying? The example is, foiled by her parents, he stopped trying to see her. He wanted to date her, and she wanted to date him, but the parents got in, and they foiled his plans to take her out on a lovely date and pay for dinner and give her a rose and chocolates and things, and or do whatever she wants. It might not be those things. And her parents said, no. No, no, no. Stop trying. Baffle implies frustration by confusing or puzzling. I'm so confused and puzzled. I'm getting frustrated. The example is baffled by the maze of rules and regulations. Sometimes when I'm playing a new game and I'm trying to read the rules, I get very baffled. I'm like, I don't under this too complicated. Words are hard and my brain can't comprehend. It's so complicated. That's the worst part of a game. Just trying to read the rules and understand it. Let's make our own rules. Balk, the last one, suggests the interposing of obstacles or hindrances. As in, officials felt that legal restrictions had balked their efforts to control crime. Officials felt that legal constrictions had balked their efforts to control crime. The officials were trying to control crime, and the law in place made it harder for them to control the crime? Maybe they wanted to do things that probably weren't very good? Interesting. The plot thickens. All right, well, let's move on to some related words by saying this sound. The second form of frustrate is an adjective from the 15th century. It is characterized by frustration. Definitions like that frustrate me. I get frustrated. I am a frustrated human when I read definitions like that, but you know what? I can't be too frustrated because they are accurate. Frustrating. Adjective from 1871. Tending to produce or characterized by frustration, as in a frustrating delay. Oh, I have had many frustrating delays when I go on the plane trips, usually for work. We get there and then we're like, ah, oh, the plane was delayed. Ah, that's a frustrating delay. I always get frustrated by that. Frustratingly is an adverb. The plane's delay it affected me frustratingly. I don't know. All right. Well, we have finally gotten to the word frustration. This is a noun from circa 1555. Number one, the act of frustrating. Number 2A, the state or an instance of being frustrated. To be, a deep chronic sense or state of insecurity and dissatisfaction arising from unresolved problems or unfulfilled needs. Wow, I feel like I just had a therapy session with that definition. We need to read that one again. A deep chronic sense or state of insecurity and dissatisfaction. Let's just start with that. Deep down inside of you, it's chronic, it's all the time, it's constant, it's bad, and it's a sense or state of insecurity or dissatisfaction. I don't feel secure. I feel not satisfied in what I'm doing, what's going on. Oh, this is deep. And it is arising from unresolved problems or unfulfilled needs. I mean, I feel like there's probably other options there. Maybe not just those two things. Unfulfilled needs. I have a need for a thing. I have a need for attention. I have a need for food. Oh, well, if you have a need for food and that need is unfulfilled, then yeah, you might have some frustration because your tummy's hungry. What's the other thing? Unresolved problems. I got some problems. I got some trauma. I got some stuff that I never dealt with. And so, yeah, you might have some frustration from that. Wow. Well, if that definition cut to the bone for you and you want to talk about it, feel free to send me an email, leave me a voicemail, send me a DM, all those things. Number three is something that frustrates. Oh, that's a frustration. That plane delay, that's a frustration. All those other things. The deep chronic sense or state of insecurity and dissatisfaction arising from unresolved problems or unfulfilled needs. That's a frustration. Let's see. Anything else there? I don't think so. Gonna go. Where are we gonna go? We're gonna go to... Next word is frustule. F-R-U-S-T-U-L-E. Frustule. What is this? It is a noun from 1848. It is the two-valved siliceous shell of a diatom. I remembered diatoms are those tiny, tiny, little, shelled, almost like a rock creature thing. They're like microscopic. They're very tiny. Maybe they're the piece of a piece. They're the size of a piece of sand, I think. Diatoms. And so the two-valved siliceous? I think it's siliceous shell. So the shell is described... Oh, no, it is a frustule. But I'm curious about the word siliceous. Let's see. It's with an S. S-I-L-I. Silly season? What's that? Let's see. Siliceous. Where are you? Here we go. Relating to, silica. Yeah, it's all about silica. So their shells are made of silica, so they are siliceous, and they got two valves, maybe in and maybe out. I don't know. So they are frustules. But why are they called frustules? It's from Latin frustulum, which is the diminutive of frustum, which is our last word. Here we go. Frustum. There we go. That's that word. Frustum. F-R-U-S-T-U-M. We're going to learn more about the siliceous shells. It's a noun from 1658. This is the basal part of a solid cone or pyramid formed by cutting off the top of a plane parallel to the base. Also, the part of a solid intersected between two usually parallel planes. Well, that was not related to diatoms from what I could tell. So, so what is this? The frustum. Oh, wait, we have a little bit more etymology, I should say. This word, I guess it would be the Latin frustum, it means piece or bit. So just a bit of a thing, a piece of a thing. Let's see. I'm going to look up example of frustum, I guess, because I want to see. But while that's thinking, and the internet takes a little while to think sometimes. Let's go back to frustule. If we think of the word as piece or bit, it is the two-valved siliceous shell of a diatom. And I don't really know how a piece or a bit fits into that, but maybe it's like, the diatom is just a little piece, so that's why we call it that? I don't know. But here's frustum. Right, is that how you say it? Frustum. The shape formed when a cone or pyramid is sliced by a plane parallel to its base. Okay, so, maybe it's a dunce cap. That's a good cone. And so if there is a sword that goes across the dunce cap that is in the same direction as the base of, when you're putting it on your head, the base of the cone is flat, it's facing down to the floor, and so then you would take your sword and go across left to right or right to left across the middle part of the dunce cap, not close to the head because you don't want to cut off the head, but in the middle, if you're slicing the dunce cap in half, say, then that is a frustum. It's the shape formed when the cone or pyramid is sliced by a plane parallel to its base. Common examples include a bucket, a lampshade, or the shape of a megaphone. Essentially, it's the portion remaining after the top part is removed. That's the frustum? Oh, interesting. And, you know, so the bottom of a dunce cap is a circle, but it could be a pyramid of three or four sides, but it looks like it could be other. It could be a five-sided thing, a six-sided thing, but it's the bottom part when you cut off the top. That's all it is. A frustum. The basal part. Basal part. It's the basal part. So it's the base part. That's what that means. The solid cone or pyramid formed by cutting off the top of a plane parallel to the base. Also the part of the solid intersected between two usually parallel planes. Okay, great. That's it. By the way, there's more at the word bruise for some reason. I don't understand. Maybe B and R. Maybe there's some old connection between B and R because we've seen frustum and bruise are connected. B-R-U-F-R-U. And then also fruit and brook seem to have a connection. I don't know. It's a thought. It's a possibility. All right. I must finish up this episode by picking a word of the episode. What shall be the word of this episode? We got to pick one. You can help. Not right now. It's not going to help me now, but you can do your part and pick a word of the episode and let me know what it is. All right, let's pick one. We had fruitless, fruitlit, fruit machine, fruit sugar, fruit wood, fruity, frumenty, frump, frumpish, frumpy, frustrate, frustrating, frustration, frustule, and frustum. Okay, well, let's see. Anything else? Anything jumping out at me? Not really. I don't know. Let's pick fruity. Fruity had a interesting range of definitions, I guess. Everything from crazy and silly to making fruit, resembling fruit, rich and deep. This is my fruity song. I'm singing it rich and deep. This is my fruity song. I'm singing it crazy and silly. That's it. Those are the best song I've ever done. Now is the time of the show when I'm going to tell you about a movie. You can follow along and watch the movies when I tell you to watch them. The next movie that we watched, oh, this was an interesting experience. This was the movie, new movie, Eddington, which we saw as a pre-screening about a week before the movie actually came out at the Music Box in Chicago. And it was cool enough to see the movie before everybody else got to see the movie. But also, the director, writer-director, Ari Aster, was there for a Q&A afterwards. And we were right there in the front row because we are nerds. And we were just a little bit away from him. And that was very cool to see. And, you know, it's a short Q&A. They don't get a lot of chances to talk about a whole lot of stuff, but it was pretty cool. Didn't get to meet him or anything like that, but the movie is about a very particular place at a very particular time, and overall, a very realistic situation. His other movies are not so real exactly. You know, they're movies. But this one, there wasn't anything fantastical or magical or supernatural or anything like that in it. It's a pretty intense drama with some comedy about COVID and people disagreeing and so many more levels than that. So yeah, I think it's people are going to have a lot to say about this movie on probably both sides because it's you know, it's something that will make people think and talk. All right, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show and enjoying my fruitiness. Until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.